So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. Your true colors are beautiful. So don't be afraid to let them show, because they're beautiful like a rainbow. So many of us know that song and can sing along. And maybe not all of us, but some of us saw Cyndi Lauper in concert and it changed her life, but anyway. So many of us know that song and we can sing along, and the message is clear, your true colors are beautiful, so don't be afraid to let them show. But it's scary to let our true colors show, and for some of us, it's dangerous. There's so much happening in our world, in our country, in Unitarian Universalism, in the news, in social media, and in our community right here. There's so much that sometimes it's hard to know where to look or where to turn next, how to stay safe, and where to be to make a difference. It's almost as if we have to regularly leave our own bodies and kind of skim life's surface in this kind of mental trance just to get through the day. And it's so hard to find good news. Like, literally, it's hard to find quality news. But it's also really hard to find good news, and I'm referring to the good news. Christians refer to this type of good news as the gospel. It's the type of good news that brings us sustenance and nurture and hope. And I don't know about you, but some days I have to dig really deep to find something that resembles good news. And my hope is that during our time together this morning, you can find at least a glimmer of good news. In so much as I'd like us to think about how we can train our attention to find good news, to come back into ourselves again, to work with this physical and emotional pain, and the gifts of love and wisdom and creativity and beauty, that aliveness that arises as we make space for what's in our minds and what's in our hearts. And in a world where so much work is really needed, taking time to pause, to reflect, to turn inward, to check in with ourselves, it might feel like it's the wrong thing, or maybe even a selfish thing. Why turn inward when there's so much stuff happening outside of ourselves? I believe that it's not only possible, but that it's true that in paying attention to the wisdom of our minds and our hearts, we are putting our faith into practice and action. But discovering what's there requires courage and time and faith. So how do we do it? Remember, ministers don't ever profess to be experts at this, right? What practices do we put in place to pause in order to hear the power of the Spirit of life within us? Where is this direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the Spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life? By the way, that last bit was one of our Unitarian Universalist sources, so I promise I'm not just making this up. We claim and proclaim that we are indeed created in love, by love, for love. And just as there is wisdom and guidance and science and reason and truth in the world that is available to us, there's also insight and awareness that is coursing through us. And it's worth listening to. Wisdom, which described by times and the past and the present of philosophers and poets, describe wisdom as something that comes from learning and making sense of our experiences and why they matter. And much of that process occurs on the inside. So turning inward to be fully present with ourselves is an act of faith, and it's being faithful. But again, how do we do that and kind of why do we do it? Especially when it's so darn hard, right? Tara Brach, American psychologist and proponent of Buddhist meditation, is often considered an expert in the field of mindfulness, especially with this idea of the power of the presence. I recently heard her share a personal story, which I believe not only illustrates the power, but also the challenge of being fully present. So the story she told. One day she was in the shower and she was reflecting on how best to describe the essential nature of presence and why it's so important to practice. So she's in the shower and she's using, you know, the water and the solitude and the steam to really like think about what it means to live from a place of presence, only to realize that she was slathering and lathering her hair with shaving cream. So this idea of being present is really hard, even for the experts. And Tara Brach also shares another illustration in a different publication, and it's about this daughter of an art school professor. And the little girl asks her mom, you know, how do you teach art? And her mother explained to her that in her class, she teaches people how to draw. And the little girl puts her hands on her hips and she looks horrified and she says, you mean they forgot? I believe that Tara Brach shares these stories to demonstrate that it's easy to be distracted by external forces and forget that how much of what we need is within us. There's wisdom in these bodies. With no instruction, they know how to be born, how to breathe and eat. My body's really good at eating. We're abled in so many diverse ways within this range of our shared human experience. These bodies know how to give and receive affection, how to sense danger, and how to cry or laugh when we need to release some emotion. They know how to think and analyze and compute and evaluate. They know that they can't exist in isolation and that they need other people. These imperfectly perfect bodies, including our minds and our hearts, they know things much more than we may give them credit. This process of turning inward, it's like a portal to the sacred, a glimpse into the tender, powerful, nurturing, sometimes scary, but most profound aspects of living. This morning's story that E.B. shared with us provides a sort of imaginative glimpse into what we may find when we turn inward. Maybe your heart is a window or a slide. Maybe your heart can be closed or opened up wide. Maybe it's a puddle, or maybe it's a stain. Some days it's cloudy and heavy with rain. Some days it's tiny, but tiny can grow and grow and grow. And some days your heart's like a fence between you and the world. And some days it's a whisper, and some days it's broken, but even when it's broken, it's still beating, and broken can mend. And a heart that's closed can still open again. My heart's a shadow, a light, or a guide. Whether it's closed or open, I get to decide. We get to decide what we do with what we discover in that process of turning inward. Maybe you can identify with one of those illustrations from the story. Or maybe silence and contemplation is how you attune to what's in your heart. Or maybe you need to pray, or talk it out, or express it in music or art, or play basketball, or journal, or dance, or bake, to help you pay attention to what wisdom is coursing through you. I don't think it's the how that's so important. What's most important is what we discover and what we do with it. When we explore what's in there, in here, we get to decide, because we get to decide how much power we give it and whether we want to help it grow or help it heal. This power, this strength, this courage of what's in there, we get to decide what we do with it and how we share it. And if what we discover there is sadness or anger or grief or pain, you know, think of these other challenging emotions or uncomfortable ideas, we get to choose how much power that has as well. But first we need to acknowledge it, to name it, and then find a brave space to explore it and process it. And perhaps then it can be transformed into that which serves us, and those who love us, and those who need us. But this isn't something that we have to do on our own, and honestly, I don't know that it's something that we can do on our own. I love when people say amen when you're preaching. We can turn to those we trust, companions on this journey, ministers, teachers, mentors, cousins, aunties, the spirit, God, science, therapists, our gardens, spiritual directors, or even maybe it's just time to help us unpack all that's there and what we can learn from it and how we can use it. But remember that the goal isn't to discover something that's in our hearts only to just get stuck there. Nor is it to judge ourselves or shame ourselves or guilt ourselves about what we discover, which is a bummer because I think most of us are really good at that. But if we get stuck there and caught in that sort of loop of things that are really about the past or the present, if we get stuck there, that can become destructive, both for ourselves and the people we love. The goal is to gain information. Perhaps if we can sort of visualize our hearts as this big space with different rooms, and this practice could be like just opening up a door to one of those rooms, just to focus on one aspect. Take a look around, see what's in there, notice what's important, and then walk back out of that room into another room. Because if we only focus on that one room or that one aspect of something that's in our hearts, we may miss the chance for transformation, or we may even miss that really specific thing that we really need. So what will you do with what you discover in your heart? What is that one thing that you need? Maybe even just for a moment, you can place your hand over your heart and make sure it's beating. I assure you, all of your hearts are beating. But what's it saying? What's it offering you? And as I think about what Pat shared with us, I wonder, what was in the hearts of those at Stonewall? What was in the hearts of those tenacious and activists and agitators then and now? What's in the heart of those who are suffering? What's in the heart of the cashier at the grocery store? What's in the heart of the person who believes and votes so differently than me? Remember, we affirm the worth and dignity of all beings, right? It's hard sometimes, but really, what's in their hearts? What's underneath all that other stuff, right? What's in the heart of the person sitting next to you right now? And what's in the heart of all the other Unitarian Universalists who are in worship together all over the world right now? And what's in your heart? Yes, we should be paying attention to the hate and the fear and the atrocities that are happening all around us and among us and to us. We cannot turn inward as an escape from the realities of oppression and injustice. Yes, we must be stirred to do something. Yes, we must acknowledge that we're still learning and continue to call each other back into covenant. And we should be inspired by the courageous examples that our history provides us, like those at Stonewall. And we should be inspired and energized by the glories of nature. Our children's milestones and great vacations and good books and ice cream and joy. We must also be making time and space to turn inward to be aware of what's happening inside of us as we are paying attention to the world and doing something. Self-awareness is doing something. Because awareness leads to a choice. You get to decide and take action with what you discover within you. With awareness comes choice. And you can choose community, as this community can be a place where we listen and we share that wisdom. And this is the we that we were talking about at General Assembly last week, right? This power of we, this creative source and audacious hope. This is the we that can get out of love's way and place the marginalized and the oppressed at the center. This is the we who celebrates life and diversity. A diverse community who bolsters and fosters creativity like the activists and agitators who came before us and who are among us. And this is the good news. Because we can do it better and more fully when we know what's happening within us. We can trust what is there. Trust that turning inward is a portal to the sacred. And trust that what is deep within you, and trust that is what is deep within all of us, because then perhaps, if we're willing to do that work, we may create a world where all of us can let our true colors show. And that's beautiful. And so are each of you, exactly as you are right now. Amen and blessed be.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.